Inspiration with E.
The following content may contain elements that are difficult for some. Information presented is not meant to substitute for the advice of a doctor or other medical professional. Please be advised that some topics are intended for mature audiences. Listener and parental discretion is advised.
Grindhard Radio. This is season one and episode two of my brand new show. And my motto is really simple. Inspire to inspire and heal to do the same. If this is your first time tuning in, it's very, very, very laid back in this space. We laugh, we cry, we have fun, high five each other. It's going to be a real, real good time. Now, today's show is a little different. It's the faith edition. And faith is simply what we need in these dire, dire times. Now, I'm not rocking solo tonight. I have somebody on this journey with me. His name is Minister Sean Mungin. And Minister Sean Mungin is somebody who's very, very special to me. He's one of the people who has been kind enough to support me on my journey as a writer and as a blogger on AuthenticitySpeaks.com for the last 2 years. A graduate of Lee University with a bachelor's in theology and also an earned master's in psychology from the University of Phoenix. He has also completed his master's in religious education from the Mason Kelly Washington Religious Training in Long Island, New York. Now, this gentleman is also a visionary. He founded in February of 2016 the Joshua Generation Ministries and has officially rebranded it as the Sean Mungin Ministries, a veteran who has served our country faithfully. It is an honor and a privilege to have my brother rocking with me tonight. Can y'all help me show some love to Minister Sean Mungin?
Hello.
Sean, I tell you, they caught off guard. They caught off guard. They clapped. It'd be on the delay, brother. It'd be on the delay. How you feel?
I'm feeling okay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so glad to have you rocking with me tonight. What an impressive resume you have. Tell the people what did I miss? A little bit more about you.
Oh, wow. Growing up in the church, you know, that's pretty much all I know. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. that because I grew up in the church, you know, I've always been in the church and I've always done right by the church, or the church has done right by me. You know, it goes both ways. Like you said, I served in the military, went straight out of high school, missed the first Gulf War by about 2 months, you know, and missed Bosnia by about 2 or 3 months. And so God's been very faithful, you know, to keep me from actual having to participate in any kind of conflict. It's unfortunate for those who have, you know, and those whose families have to suffer alongside mm-hmm. with them, you know, while they're serving in conflict. This is something they've all signed up for. Families as well, you know, when that family yeah. member raised that hand, you know, they in turn mm-hmm. also have become a part of the military as well. And so it's you know, you support those who have unfortunately had to have gone on to see conflict of that
yeah.
nature. But I got out of the military about 21 years ago, mm-hmm. in California. And the funny thing about it is I find myself 20 years later coming full circle back to California, and I'm currently working in a field where I was once a part of, being a homeless veteran once I got out of the military.
Wow. So you said you were a homeless veteran once you got out of the military.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
What a lot of people don't understand is that there are a lot of more programs in place now than there were back in 1996 when I got out. The transition from the military back to civilian life, it's not that easy now, but it definitely was not easy back then, because a lot of the programs were geared toward those who were serving in an officer's capacity, or those who were higher. Mm-hmm. Higher ranked enlisted. So for me, I wasn't a higher ranked enlisted, nor was I an officer. So it was very difficult to transition out. No job, no home. I exited the military with 30 days worth of leave pay and
wow.
and an honorable discharge. And so after a few, for lack of a better word, negative interactions with so-called friends, I found myself sleeping in my car between
wow.
Compton and Venice and Santa Monica, just driving from place to place. And thank God for a friend of mine whose mother allowed me to stay with them for the time that I remained here in California. But you know, it's interesting that you call this episode the faith episode, because that's exactly what it took for me to rebound in my life. It hasn't been a very easy path. There have been some obstacles thrown in my way by others, and then there have been some that I've thrown myself that I've had to overcome. And a lot of it had to do with just my faith in God and how I was raised, the background that I was raised. You know, both sides, you know, full of preachers. Both grandfathers are pastors. You know, dad was a minister. My mom is currently pastoring. Uncles on both sides pastoring, aunts pastoring. You know, if they didn't pastor or they weren't ministers, they married someone who was. So it's all I know. Didn't mean that I didn't step outside of that line, you know, and it doesn't mean right. that I deal with life outside of church. I have my struggles just like the next person, you know. And I think what people mistakenly perceive about people in the church is that, oh, you're a Christian, so you're supposed to, you know, walk upright, you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing that, and there's almost no room for error, you know. And the moment that you make a mistake, there's somebody there shining the light on you, ready to throw stones at you. What they don't get is that we've not yet reached perfection. You know, we're on a journey. That's why we're human beings, not human are or human is or human was. We are human beings, and that little suffix ing means that it's a constant process that we're going through. We're being perfected, you know. We get tested every day. Yes, we sometimes come out of character and we do things that we otherwise wouldn't do, and so they forget that we're still human.
Yeah.
So, but
and we are still human. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. I mean, but the beautiful thing about it is being able to take that and look at the world we're living in and a lot of things that are going on. And as of recent, as you said, you know, just with the whole Sean Mungin Ministries and the site website, you know, just kind of shifting the focus, not leaving the foundation of you know, the biblical foundation, but actually looking at more social issues and trying to address those things from a biblical perspective, the racism, you know, the things that are happening in Charlottesville that happened in Charlottesville, rather, you know, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, it's like, okay, where's the church? You know, we have a responsibility to address racism. We have a responsibility to address a lot of the social issues that are going on in our country and in the world around us. And it's like we're sitting back waiting on the government to act, and that's not how it initially was. You know, we in the faith community were a part of one of the first social service movements in the world, and we kind of have to get back to that, you know, and become our brother's keeper once again.
You know, it's interesting that you should bring that up. When the Lord had laid on my heart that this should be the faith episode, for those who are not familiar with me or how this all came about, it was birthed literally out of just sharing with people what inspires me. And my faith, that's my core. Out of everything
right.
that I share on social media and everything that I do, you know, be it my 9-to-5 gig or whatever the case may be, faith is what keeps me going. And so I plan tons of music for this episode. And, you know, I had my own plans. I had my own plans for this episode, but God has been very gently interrupting us all day. And as to what he wants to see happen, exactly, as to what he wants to see happen. So I'm very interested to see what God is going to do. I'm expecting miracles, signs, and wonders. You had made mention that when you had shifted out of the military that you were able to rebound, even though you were homeless at the time and had a falling out with people, probably people that you really thought that you could rely on. And so I really want us to touch on all of that tonight. We have some great interviews lined up, and they're all ready to go. They're all already on the line. I love that about my squad. I am surrounded by some of the most supportive people. But we're going to set this atmosphere up real good. But before I pray, because I'm getting ready to pray, I want those of you who are listening, you can call in. The number is 323-693-3043. And if you actually want to talk to us throughout the show, you can press 1. And for those of you who are listening for the first time, and you're struggling, you could even be a veteran. You may have difficulty coping. You may have nightmares, may have flashbacks, dealing with PTSD, dealing with depression, and you may even be self-harming. I'm a person who's a volunteer suicide crisis counselor, and so I'm very aware that there are people who, when I talk to them, they don't like me because of the color of my skin. They don't like my God, but they have a need because they're hurting. And I think what happens a lot of times is, although I am a person of faith, a lot of times we use our faith as an excuse and as a crutch to be mean as the day is long.
Right.
And so I'm grateful for the training that I have outside of, religious settings, so that I know how to really be all things to all people. And so if you're a person that's hurting and you could care less about me, you hate God, but you still need somebody to talk to, there's a place for that as well. The National Suicide Hotline, it is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Someone's available there 24 hours a day. And veterans, there's even a line for you. You press 1 and you'll be able to talk to someone who's trained to talk to you, not talk at you, not talk about you, but talk to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just lift up this broadcast to you today, right now, God. Lord, we pray forgiveness of our sins, anything we have done or said or thought that has offended you or others. God, we ask that you give us the strength that we need. We had plans and envisioned songs here, drops here, applause here, but at the end of the day, God, it is all about you. Father, we ask right now that if there's anybody who is listening, who is hurting, who is broken, who is depressed, I pray, God, that you would give them a supernatural portion of peace right now, God, for everybody who's dealing with lack, for everyone who's dealing with repossession is pending, eviction is pending, foreclosure is pending. I pray, God, that you would supernaturally touch their finances in the name of Jesus. God, right now, for those who are lonely, they are either lonely because of a spouse that won't deal with them, Lord God, or their nest is now empty, the children have left, God, or maybe they have lost their job. I pray right now for comfort for the hurting, yes. God, those who are smiling, those who just got out of church and are still hurting, yes, God, those who hug a lot of people but still have nobody to call. I ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would do a supernatural work of healing for them right now, oh God. Now, Father, I pray that you move by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have been given full reign to divinely interrupt this broadcast any way you want to. This is yours. We belong to you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God. We commit it to you right now, God. I pray that everyone feels welcome here, God. I dedicate Inspiration with E to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
In the name
I pray
of Jesus.
That no one feels as though they cannot call in, that no one feels as though they cannot email, that no one feels as though they can reach out, as though they cannot reach out. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their sexual preference is, God. I don't care what their marital status is, God. I pray, God, comfort right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you tear down every stronghold, God. I pray, God, that you restore all that which is broken and that which we have given away. In the name of Jesus, we invite you in and we count it done by faith. We give you the glory. Oh, God, we give you the glory. God, we give you the glory. We're going to get ready to bring in Keturah Duncan. Keturah Duncan is our first guest. God, I give you the glory. Excuse me. Hey, thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I give you the glory. Hallelujah. God, I give you the glory. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I give you the glory. I give you the glory, God. Hallelujah. I was supposed to lose my mind, but God said, not so. Hallelujah. God, I give
you
the glory.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I give you the glory. Hallelujah. Have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh God. We're going to try this again, God. I'm introducing Keturah Duncan. Keturah Duncan is the young lady who sings the theme song for this season. You heard it playing at the top of the show. It's on iTunes currently as I Need You, But Walk With Me is the name of the song going forward. Keturah is somebody that I have literally had the pleasure of watching grow up. She's beautiful, not just physically, but inside and out. She's a class act. My respect level for her is through the roof. She's a trooper. Mm-hmm. She's talented. She's creative. She's fearless. And she's the founder of the God Be Big movement. She's not only a worship leader. She's very clear that worship is not just music. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is life outside of the four walls, just like what we're experiencing now. So she's already on the line. I'm going to give her some applause, since my applause be all delayed on this job. But as they say, introducing to some and presenting to others, put your hands together all over the building for Keturah Duncan. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
I'm so glad
that
you are here. And my sister, thank you so much. Please, for those who are just getting a chance, I'm wonderful. I'm blessed. You know me, Keturah. I'm trying to hold my peace. I don't tear up my floor.
Hold your mule.
So I'm trying. Mother's trying to hold her mule. I already know the intercessors are praying. It is what it is. Please, for those who are just getting a chance to know you, you are an indie artist out of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Please tell people a little bit about you.
Well, I don't know what else there's to say. I'm Keturah. I love Jesus. My heart is for people not to just know Jesus because everybody knows his name, but I really believe that he wants that there's a relationship to be had with our Savior, and that everything that he does or allows to be done in our lives is for him to reveal how important that relationship is to him and for him to cultivate us. So my desire and my hope and my heart's hope is that people see Christ in me and that ultimately they yearn for that relationship. I've done church a long time, and I've seen church done for a long time.
Yeah.
I know that church is not necessarily what God is seeking from us.
Amen.
Just to shout and to walk away, still empty, still lost. I actually was thinking earlier today about this song that I wrote. I remember we used to go to Sharon together, and I remember being a teenager and walking home one night and feeling very lonely. And what the Lord had placed in my heart was, you may feel lonely, but you're never alone. And I just, those were the words of the song. I'm never alone, I'm never alone. Even when I feel lonely, I'm never alone. And we have the opportunity to make choices in life. So am I going to choose to live in how I feel right now, or am I going to choose to live in the facts? So that's me. That's where I am. And I try to be as transparent and real with that as I can be. That's it.
Yeah, you know, I'm finding, thank you for that. I'm finding there's a cost for that transparency that we all pay, those of us who attempt to walk in the light. I heard a quote that people, they don't want to talk about what's right with you because they rather rehearse what's wrong with you. And so that means our uh-ohs are public, the poor choices that we make are public. Mm-hmm. How have you had that balance? I mean, I know you've not always felt holy on 76, like if you're walking downtown, there are times.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. You know, people, you know, they see you and they expect to see that gorgeous smile, which is just, you know, like, and then you're like, yeah, mama's not really feeling none of y'all today. You know, like, how do you balance the reality of walking in faith even during the week, loving the Lord even during the week?
Again, it goes back to choices. Life is not easy at all. And for me at this phase in my life, life has not been easy at all. There are many days that I have to, I don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Like, I just don't. But there is a call and there is a responsibility. I have a responsibility as a mother. I have a responsibility as a Christian. I have a responsibility as Keturah to stand even when I want to fall. And if I say that I believe God to be who he is, then I have to trust him to do that. So that's where the whole God Be Big piece came from. God Be Big actually came from, my pastor said it to me one day. I was leading worship, and he looked at me and was like, you need to be praying God Be Big. I was like, huh? What does that even mean? I was like, God is big. Okay, but I'll just go with it. And then I just did it in obedience. I just began to pray, God Be Big. And in that time, God just began to open some doors and opportunities and even challenging me in regards to the fact that I know that he's big and I believe that he's big. And I can even pray for him to do big things for you. But do I believe he can do those big things for me? So in that in that process of me praying, God Be Big, God began to reveal to me that, yes, I trust and I thank you for the trust that you have for me to do things to other people, but there are some things that I want to do in you. So out of that, I began to pray God Be Big, and it has come with a cause, absolutely. It has come with a cause, but the biggest thing is I have to believe. And it simply means, God, I believe that your word says that you are who you say you are and that you'll do what you say you'll do. So that's what I have to hold on to every day. Every minute of every day. And there are times, honestly, that I am, that I feel, and I don't know any other way to say this, very emotionally unstable and even sometimes bipolar. Like, okay, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you angry? Or are you, like, where are you right now? Or where are you from one minute to the next? But even in those times, even more, I have to be intentional. And sometimes I fail. Sometimes I fail at it, but I try to be very much intentional of, God, I trust you. I trust you. Everything around me looks absolutely ridiculous and looks contrary to anything that I believed you would do or you would say. And even in this time, he's shown himself to be what I didn't. There's always more to learn about God. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. There's always more to learn. You never totally and completely know him in his full fashion because he's God. He is God. So there are things that I didn't think would happen the way they happened, or things that I didn't think God would use the way he's using them, but he's God. And all I can say is, God Be Big. Like, I trust you to do what you said you were going to do and be who you said you are, even when I can't see my finger in front of my face, that things are so cloudy.
Yeah, that's real talk right there. I'm going to pass the baton to my guest co-host, Sean Mungin, Minister Sean Mungin, who's in the building. But before I do, I just wanted to ask you, when you think of faith in this hour, what are your thoughts on faith? Especially as an indie artist, which is a whole nother level of faith in and of itself.
Faith is believing beyond belief, hoping beyond hope. That's what it is to me at this point and in this stage of my life. It's easy to believe in something when you can see it, but when you can't, that's what faith is. Like, that's when you need faith. That's what it is to me. It's that believing beyond the visible. It's simply what it says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that makes absolutely no sense to the, or very little sense to it, just in our nature. But that's what I feel it is. It's like believing when I have nothing, like, God, all I have is faith. Like, all I have is faith right now. I don't have anybody calling me, giving me a record deal. I don't have people loving on me like I thought they would. I don't have people liking stuff like I thought they would. But I have hope and faith that you will do, that you will continue. You don't need them to get done what you said that you wanted to do and then through. So
I can talk to you all day. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's real talk, because I know, you know, we have a lot of – just because a person is a singer doesn't make them an artist. You know, you're actually stepping out on faith to do both, be a singer and an indie artist. So I commend you. And I'm not just trying to gas your head up. I love you to read these pieces, but if you were garbage, yeah, you'd be the first to know. You are actually let's just keep it 100. You know, you're skilled. You're skilled and anointed. Because bad singing is a distraction. It really is. It's a distraction. So you're skilled and anointed, and you're easy on the eyes. I'm sure that helped. Okay, Sean, your turn.
Well, I mean, I was first, how are you? How are you doing? Keturah, how
I'm
are
well.
You?
Thank you so much. I'm good.
Great.
Thank you so much.
I was listening to you, and I was just glancing over your bio, and the one thing that came to my mind was how – or is it, should I say, is it difficult to stand your ground and stay in the realm of Christian music, Christian-focused music, gospel-focused music, when you have a lot of people with similar backgrounds to all three of us here, and you know, they've grown up in the church, they've grown up knowing God all of their life or knowing about God. However, at first chance, you know, the first opportunity to go out and because they really want to be an artist, you know, they they're willing to give up that aspect of their life just to make that dream happen. How difficult is it to stand focused and stand firm on what you believe?
I must say that it has its difficulties, but it has also been challenged. I am 36, and life has been, like I said, interesting. But one of the things that I always thought, you know, as a Christian artist, I was limited or had a limited mindset on where I would go to sing, what I would do to sing. Those things have been challenged at this stage in my life. I've had some current opportunities to be in mainstream arenas with artists and to see them. For instance, one of my favorite he's not a new artist. One of my favorite artists, he's not a sacred artist, but his name is Chemistry. And most people know Kim, but I got a chance to see him live recently. And he professes Christ on stage.
Right.
And he shares his testimony from the stage.
Right.
And in his lyrics, he doesn't speak about anything that's, well, in my stage of the show, I don't know what happens at every show, but in my experience, he didn't speak of anything that was contrary to love, and in the relationship setting. So I'm saying that to say, my view, I understand and see how a view could be painted, how a vision could be skewed,
right.
How you may be like, you know what, I'm not doing the church thing no more. I'll do X, Y, and Z. And that, you know, as an artist, I don't necessarily just have to sing in churches. There are other arenas and opportunities to be able to sing and still not compromise my what I have to say. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can share, because my greatest desire is that in my lyrics, you not only get how Jesus died on the cross for you and how he rose on the third day, but how he gives you strength, direction, understanding,
right.
and power to live out this life until he returns. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
that in itself, you know, gives life to the lyrics and what you're saying from the message and in which it's birthed from. So it's a struggle. I see how it can happen. It's not necessarily a struggle for me at this time, but I see how it can happen. I see how it can be a struggle. And sometimes when you can have a judgment on things until you're
right.
in the middle of it, and then you're
right.
like, oh,
ma'am.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't
yeah.
know that this was the situation.
Yeah.
But at the
right.
same time, you know, I have my standards of
right.
what I will do at this point in my life and what I believe. There would never be a time that I can say I'm singing for Jesus and I'm twerking on stage and I got on nothing. Like that
right.
is totally contrary to him. Will there be a time that I may be singing at the Wells Fargo Center and I may be opening up for Anita Baker? Maybe. But I'll still be
right.
singing about Jesus in his love for
right.
me. You know what I mean?
Right.
However, yeah. I feel like the church and the industry both can
right.
put you in lanes in which you can't fly. You
right.
know what I mean? And do
yeah.
everything
yeah.
that you know,
yeah.
it is put
that
in
up.
You to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, right, do I want to be popular or do I want to be effective? I think that's
right.
that's the biggest thing. Do I want to be popular or do I want to be effective? I want to be effective. So
right.
my, I hope I answered your question. I think I would go.
You did.
Okay.
You hit on a lot of key points, because what happens is, I think, is that being in a church, growing up in a church, and you have, sometimes you get locked into a certain mindset and you feel like
mm-hmm.
that's the only way that it can work. And,
right.
and you're basically putting God in a box, and God
mm-hmm.
is a big God. Like you said, God be big, you know, and he is
mm-hmm.
so much bigger than our whole mindset can, you know, our capacity to even fathom, you know, so we can't just say there's just this one way to do it. As long as you don't compromise
right.
the message, there are many avenues to be effective in ministering to people.
Right.
And on that note, listen, we can be talking all day. Katora, all I can say is thank you so much for stopping
thank
by
you.
With us. We have, these lines are popping and people are hurting.
Awesome.
So I'm so glad that this faith episode is in place. Please, before you go, I want you to tell the people how they can find you, how they can support you on social media.
Awesome. So on Facebook, I am Katora Duncan's Music. That's my family page. I don't call it fan, my family page. On Instagram or on Twitter, you can find me under God Be Big. And I also have a website that is in the works. And it's KD New Dawns, KDNEWDAWN.com. And New Dawn just speaks of how a bird, when the new day comes, he sings, but that bird sings because he was able to survive the struggle. So that's a whole
beautiful
thing that'll be.
Excellent.
So that's how you can keep in contact with me.
Excellent. Well, I love you to life, and you know that's real
talk.
I
love you guys, too. Thank you.
Huge. I'm a fan of yours, both on and on the mic. Absolutely, Katora. And we love the song here. I was so glad that you allowed us to use your song as a theme song for Inspiration with Ease first season. God bless you. Nothing but success, my sister. Stay in touch with us. And thank you for sharing what faith means to you. God bless you, Mama. Much love.
Awesome. God bless you, too. God bless you, Pastor. Talk to you.
God bless you.
Amen. If you're just tuning in, welcome to Inspiration with E. I'm Erica Arthi, your host. This show is a little bit different. It's the faith episode. We're talking real time about real events, and we're nobody special. I mean, we're literally just everyday people encouraging everyday people here, and we're talking about faith in real situations. Money is tight. It's not funny because there's nothing funny about it being tight. Money is tight across the board. People are hurting. People are depressed. They are, put me in B flat and tell three people I'm coming out of it and still leaving out, toe up, depressed, cutting themselves, ODing, stressed out, trying to impress people that don't like you. I know they don't like you because they told me, huh, what you say. And we have mastered churchdom with no power, no power. And so I'm so grateful, although Inspiration with E plays all genres of music, every episode is different, but this particular episode is the faith episode. And so we've already discussed faith as a veteran and as a person launching a new ministry from Minister Sean Mungin, who's my guest co-host. And now we just talked with Katora Duncan. She's an indie artist, and it was faith dealing with that. And now we have on the line with us my sister. I adore this young lady. Her name is Precious Bruton. She is a singer. She is a wife and a mom. She's super, super, super talented. One of the things I like most about Precious is that what you see is what you get. She, like me, I don't have the energy to rock more than one face, and that's one of my favorite things about her. The other thing I love most about her and I admire genuinely about Precious is that Precious has a way of carrying herself in dignity, with dignity and grace, in spite of everything that she's dealing with, in spite of everything that she's in the midst of, in spite of every challenge. Anyone who knows her or has had the pleasure of meeting her can attest to the same. She is a class act with a genuine, kind spirit. She's known for her effortless ability to deliver vocal performances that render you speechless. She has had the ability and honor of sharing the stage with some of gospel music's most notable voices, including Israel Houghton, Myron Butler, Karen Clark Seard, and Donnie McKirkland. So we're going to be talking today on a more personal level. Although she's an amazing singer, we're going to talk to Precious, the wife of 9 years and mother of two, one who was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2 years old. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and the nonprofit that she recently started called Ascension, Kids, created to provide free educational and therapy services for children with all disabilities. So ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, put your hands together all over the building for Precious Brewster. Welcome, my sister.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, the introduction had me in tears. And I didn't need all of that,
you.
But oh my gosh.
Oh.
I love you too. Oh my goodness. You definitely have me
genuinely
in tears.
Love you.
I know.
Love you. I love you.
I know
from
you
my
do.
Heart. You already know that. That's
know.
Right.
Yes.
Without
from
fingers,
one.
Eyes or that's right, without fingers, eyes or toes crossed. You're the real deal. Much respect, my sister. Much respect.
And the same to you, Erica. Thank you so much again for having me and for this opportunity. It's such an honor to just be able to share, you know, my story. Definitely, you know, I spoke to you about my nervousness and being out of my element with this. I'm super shy. But, you know, this is such an honor to be able to share, you know, my experience with my son with autism and, you know, how it's affected and changed our lives, you know, in a positive way, but definitely in a, you know, a hard way as well, because, you know, we kind of had to change a whole plan, you know, of life, you know, things were going to look like for our son, for our family. So it's definitely been, you know, a journey to say, you know, to say the least, but, you know, we're blessed. We're blessed.
Absolutely, and I can attest to how blessed your family is. And one of the things I remember when I first met you guys, thank you, gosh, I met you guys in 2011.
Woo! Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
goodness. And so, you know, I remember Spanky being so passionate and just, I remember his pacifier. All I wanted to do was just pinch those cheeks and kiss on them. And I remember,
yes.
I remember you holding him in such a sweet, loving way, and always just
wow.
loving on him and holding on him, even if he would get a little bit
yeah.
restless at times. So tell me
yes.
when you and Steve, my brother, your husband, when you
yes.
began to say, you know what, I wonder if he's a little restless and this is just normal. Does he not want to sit in the, you know, the main sanctuary? Like, when was it when the mom and dad warning bells went off, when you said, you know, we may need to look to see if everything's okay or just evolving a little bit differently?
Right. And I was, you know, that moment you brought up back in church to point out how you would always, I just want to say this about our, me and E's relationship starting off is, you know, she would always calm my nerves during services because I could always, you know, Spanky, which is his nickname, his name is Steven, but we call him Spanky, he would get restless in church a bit. And I was so nervous about sending him places, and I never had anybody else keep my kids. And so I wanted to enjoy the service, but it's like I couldn't let go of my baby. But E was the first person who was like, girl, you need to get this for you. You know, go and take that baby to children's church. He will be fine in just an hour or two. Take him to church, girl. And she just helped me. I just want to say first, E, you are so gifted to do this mental
wow.
health, you know, awareness, this show. This is so you, your lane, your realm, because you helped calm my nerves at such a
wow.
crucial time in my life that I didn't even know I was about to walk into. But you helped me to release some of the attachment that I had to my children because it was so hard for me to let go. I was so used to
wow.
not, we was even raised in not you know, doing daycare. You know, my mom had a home daycare, you know, so we always had our babies. We always had the children. She always had us growing up. So it was so hard for me to let my kids go. But I needed that time, you know, for me, you know, for especially in church, you know, and that distraction. I needed to be able to receive, and you just calmed my nerves, and you gave me that first, you know, precious, it's okay to let go. It's okay.
Wow.
So I just wanted to, you know, that right there really, I would never let that go. And you're so gifted for this. But let me move forward because I know you got me on here to talk about something else, not about us. So, when I first noticed signs, Spanky, he actually was progressing well all the way up to the age of maybe between 12 months, 18 months is when we started seeing a difference. He was babbling, he was talking, he was saying words, he was doing all things of that nature until about that point. And he started his name. He wouldn't even look at us. You know, he would say, Spanky, Spanky, Steven. He wouldn't look at us. We thought he couldn't hear, and he wasn't making eye contact. Some of the things, songs he used to sing, he used to count, he used to sing his ABCs. He wasn't doing any of that anymore. So at that point, we knew something was going on. It was like he was digressing a bit. So we ended up taking him to an ear doctor. We thought it was his hearing. That wasn't it. You know, we had ear tubes placed. Sometimes they'll make you go through these, you know, different processes to make sure, okay, we're going to tackle every corner before we say what it could else possibly be. So we went through that process. They said it's not his ears. His ears is coming out fine, but we do want to his hearing is coming out fine, but we do want to address the speech delay because he's got a delay. So we got a speech therapist seeing him. And from the first time she saw him, she noticed red flags of autism. And a few of those red flags, because if you don't know, because knowledge is everything, you know, and it's about bringing awareness to what you may think is normal but may not be, you know. And some of the red flags was, you know, no social smiles or joyful expression, limited eye contact, not sharing vocal sounds, or, you know, no babbling, no pointing or making gestures, just no words or meaningful phrases or anything like that, just not receiving those. Like by 24 months, you should be having all of that, and we didn't have any of it. So, you know, she knew then, hey, we need to get him, you know, evaluated. So sure enough, they told us it was autism. And before that point, we didn't know what autism was. We never heard of it before, you know. So it was devastating, you know, to get that and not know. They tell us not knowing, you know, hey, there's a possibility he could grow out of this, but then there's a strong possibility that he will never utter a word, or, you know, he'll never be able to communicate, you know, his feelings. He may never marry, you know. And to go from thinking I'm going to have grandkids one day to thinking that I'm going to have to be raising a grown man for the rest of his life, that was devastating, you know. Thank God for them that I had around that time, because that could be everything, because the feelings and emotions that we went through in that part was real. You know what I'm saying? You can't make it pretty. Yeah. You can't try, because we church folks, sometimes we try to cover up the feeling of, you know, not feeling like accomplished, like, okay, God, where did I go wrong? This is definitely my fault. I felt guilty. I went through the feeling of guiltiness. What did I do? How did I, like, did I carry him? Did I not take my vitamins? I went through the blame game. I want to blame myself, you know, and I didn't know how to fix the problem, but that was the problem, was that I was trying to fix it. And people with autism, they're not broken. You know what I'm saying? And it's us who actually need to learn, you know, their best way of learning, because it's not a death sentence. You know, it's not the end of the world when you get an autism, you know, diagnosis. It's not, because there is room. There is, you know, room for growth. There's room for there. I mean, let me tell you this. Spanky was nonverbal all the way up to the age of 4. I didn't hear him say mommy until 4 years old. I didn't hear him say mommy. And I can tell you to this day that he's making complete sentences. He's 7 years old now. Yesterday from school was his first week of school last week. He got in the car and he said, mommy, I'm sad. And that's one of the signs of, you know, of autism is, or one of the characteristics is not being able to express how you feel. So for him to say that, was about to go crazy. And I said, why, Spanky, why are you sad? And he used to only be able to just say two-word sentences, but he said, because it's raining. And do you know, I like ran off the road. Like, I'm telling you, that was a huge, that may not be big to some, but we have come a long way from completely not talking to saying, mommy, I'm sad because, and you're telling me why, because it's raining. And I'm telling you, it's, that's why I say, yes, they may not be learning on the same path or the same speed of others, but it, you know, it doesn't matter. You meet them where they are, you know, and you find out their best ways to learn, because it's not that they can't learn. It's just that we have to find out the unique way that they learn. It could be through music. It could be through, and that's, my son is very musical. Steve is musical. Yes. His dad, I'm musical. So I get it. So if we have to sing it to him, and if that's going to make him brush his teeth at the sink, that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing that's a song about brushing your teeth. And that's just about, it's, the spectrum is so wide. It's like not true. One definition of autism. There could be somebody that's truly high functioning, Asperger's, you know, can just be the most educated, intelligent, you know, person you could ever meet. And, you know, but then it could be all the way down to not being able to walk, move or anything, you know, or talk or anything. So the spectrum is so wide. There's not truly one definition of autism. It's just that communication barrier, that whatever it is that's in the brain, it's causing them to not be able to express how they feel or communicate certain things, you know, with you. It's just such a wide range. So there's so much hope, you know. Even if it's devastating to get the first, your son, your child, your daughter has autism, it's devastating to hear that. But through my experience, I want to testify to you that it's not the end of the world. There's still happiness. There's still joy. As Erica, as she said, you can see the joy and love that Spanky expresses, and that's supposed to be something that's nothing that he wasn't ever supposed to know how to do or learn how to do, is to express his feelings or his love to someone. And anybody that knows my son knows the first thing he's going to do is come and grab you, hug you, rub your face, and that's the first thing he do is show affection. So I don't listen to what they say he's not going to do. I keep my hope and my faith alive, having a great support system, having a great faith in God, and just knowing that he's there. He's giving you this. He's giving you this problem because he knew, he gave to you, and you have inside what it is that you need to carry it out, to be able to handle it, and you to give this child everything he needs to grow and to thrive in life. And so I keep telling myself, you know, I have very hard moments, and I think it's healthy for people to be real about how you feel when you really go through this stuff, because I think if I didn't have people in my life who was there for me when I felt like I wanted everything to end, when I felt like this is it, I can't take anymore, if I didn't have someone who was further along in the road than I was, who told me, Precious, I had those same feelings. Precious, I wanted to commit suicide. Precious, I wanted to throw in the towel. Precious, I thought it was going to be over and ended. You know, but they're further along, and they have a testimony and a story showing me what it looks like if you hold on a little while longer. It's okay to feel those human, very human feelings. It's okay to feel that, and it's just being transparent. If you have somebody in your life who can just be like, "Yo, those are real feelings, and it's okay to feel that way," but just don't stay there. You know what I'm saying? Don't stay there. I cannot. Saying, I'm telling you, so many people perish, so many people die, so many people give up because they don't have that person that's okay, that's free to be transparent I was there, but I'm here now. You get what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, I felt that.
Absolutely.
I did that, but I'm here now. You know what I'm saying? And that's truly, I can say, I can testify today that that's why I'm still here. I'm still here.
Ma'am.
I'm sorry, Erica. I'm running my mouth.
No, help yourself. Please.
But
you are,
I'm telling you,
you're setting people free.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, though. That's one thing. That's why I love what you're doing on this show, Erica. You're taking it out the four walls. I absolutely adore that, because I like for people to feel like I can be me. With all of my flaws, with all that I have, with all that I might have done last night, God still loves me, and he still wants to help me find
ma'am.
A way out. You get
Glory
what I'm saying?
God.
There.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you can't. I'm telling you, if it was up to our neighbor to judge and make judgment on us on what tomorrow is going to hold for us, I'm telling you, we would have been gone a long time ago. I thank God, that he has a love that's so unconditional, that there's nothing that we can do that will stop him from making a way and bringing us out. There's nothing too hard.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
nothing too
yeah.
bad that we can do that he won't bring us out of and that he won't love
Amen.
Us through. And that's what I'm just, I don't know. I love what you're doing, Erica, because this is what people need. This is what helped me through my hardship
wow.
because I thought it was weakness for me to be like, man, I feel like giving up. Man, I can't, I felt like I had to dress it up. I had to put makeup over it. I couldn't show how I felt. I had to go and act like I was someone else because I didn't want anyone to think any less of me as a person
if
I let them know I had these feelings. You get what I'm saying? But how
can
people have true deliverance? You know, if they don't know these things are real, you know, this is real. And marriages haven't lasted because they didn't know that, hey, these problems we're having, these arguments we're having, it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have someone to tell them that it's normal. That's why they throw in the towel, because they think that it's not right. This isn't supposed to happen. We shouldn't be arguing about stuff like this. We shouldn't be, you know, they don't think that it's normal. And I'm like, I just thank God. It's fine. My one thing I want to say is to find someone in your life. It don't have to be a slew of people. I don't have a whole lot of friends. I can probably count on one hand how many people
mm-hmm.
who I confide into or whatever. It don't need to be a whole slew of people. You find that person who is not going to judge you through
mm-hmm.
anything. You find that person who's going to be not just going to want to listen to all of your mess, but will turn around and tell you all of theirs and say, I've been there, and you know what? You're going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Because that one-sided relationship thing, too, that's a red flag. When they want to hear everything you got to say, but they're not wanting to tell you what they've been through. So look out for that, because that's not real either, you know? Just try. I'm sorry, Erica.
Girl,
I'm going on, and I'm
no,
just going to
stop
talking. Because you're supposed to be asking me questions, so let me be quiet.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, do not apologize. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I committed this show to the Lord. But God is sovereign. And everything that you said is exactly what someone listening needed to hear. You see, this particular,
Amen.
For those of you who are new to Inspiration with E, it's not just calling in live. This is now going down in history as an item that's archived to help someone. So someone may stumble across my podcast on iTunes. They may come across it on Blog Talk Radio. They may see it on TuneIn. You know, they may just go to the website, grindheartradio.com. Either way, whoever needed to hear what you just shared is going to
Amen.
Get it exactly when they
Amen.
Need it. We do, however,
Amen.
Have another guest on the line. So
yes.
I appreciate you. Well, I'm going to let you go. If you want to, you know,
yes.
stay with us and mute out your background, you're more than welcome. But we have with us
okay.
Reverend Dionne Bossier, who's going to be joining us momentarily. She's going to close out this last half hour with us. It went by very, very fast. But I know for a fact that everything that was supposed to happen has happened today. If you're just joining us, if you wanted to talk to us, we still have room to take a call or two during the last segment. Please do not hesitate to reach out to us if you just want to share a word of encouragement or bless, speak life right back into our guest co-host and our guests so far. The number is 323-693-3043. If you press 1, our engineer and CEO, founder of Grind Heart Radio, Jit Chronicles, will help get you on the line. But for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and bring in Reverend Dionne Bossier. Now, I have to just let you know real good, real quick, that this is a person, and I'm not going to cry. Father, give me the strength today. She's my heart, y'all. She's my heart. Like, yeah, this woman of God is my heart. We met when we were like 14 years old. And so, you know, technically that was maybe what, 5-7 years ago, you know, math's not mother's strong point. But she's one of my closest friends. Actually, she's my best friend. And she is a person who has been given an Esther assignment in this day and age. She is not only a singer, which is how we met through the gospel choir back in the day. She's not only a preacher. She's not only my son's godmother. She's not only an intercessor and the caretaker of her parents. She's not only a person who has helped to make sure that women are being heard and that our girls are being brought back. She's a person who doesn't just tweet about social theology matters. She's a person who's actually on the front line of what social theology looks like. And our guest co-host, Minister Sean Mungin, he kind of touched on it when he mentioned what we're supposed to be doing as the body, the hands and feet of God in the earth realm. Reverend Basir is the first woman of African descent to hold the significant position of being the chaplain of the Church Center for the United Nations in New York City. That is so major. She is a person who's gifted in the areas of not only nonprofit organizations and coaching and pastoral counseling and conflict resolution. When it comes to social theology, she's a person who is on the front lines, having had strong community and social services professional. She's a professional with a Master's of Divinity that she obtained from Union Theological Seminary. So, yeah, this is my homegirl, in short. That's what I really want to say. Word is bond. Brooklyn in the house, son. Put your hands together all over the building.
Yeah.
Let's see people and tell them we're about to come on out of this. Introducing to some and presenting to others, Reverend Dion Basir.
Brooklyn's in the house.
Brooklyn is showing up in the house. My sister.
Wow.
I love you.
I'm trying
with
to
my with my everything. I love you with my everything. I love you. I love you so much. Thank you for being here, sweetie.
I am speechless, and I have to say, I don't have much of a voice. I had to preach two services this morning, and then do a house visit and all that other stuff. And so I don't have much of a voice left. But I'm going to say something to you all out here and with Inspiration with E. This episode and nothing that has happened in Erica's life is by happenstance. And this is a God-ordained moment. I am beyond thrilled to be on this show with you and to see part of your vision come true. And so I know you might not say it, but I'm going to say it. Over 30 years we have been sister friends. Over 30 years we have been sisters. And that, I have to say, I mean, Erica has been the first woman to say, you know, you're not all that. And then to tell you that you're the best thing next to sliced bread. I mean, everything. She's my world, and I really I thank God for you, Eri. That's what we call it.
You, baby.
So I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
And I know there's an assignment that you have for me, but I have to say this is just amazing. And to Minister Mungin, I just want to say that you are a gift to the body of Christ, and a gift to the world. And so thank you for riding with my sister, because I'm going to tell you that we are, although we are, you know, holy and sanctified and all that wonderful thing, you know, the earrings do come off, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and all of that happens still. So we have to make sure. We got to make sure that the folks that are around her, you know what I'm saying. So I'm grateful for you riding with her. I really, really am. I'm the little sister, but I'm still, you know.
No, she's been a great inspiration and encouragement to myself as well. So I get it, completely get it.
And I preached at her childhood church actually, where her father served today, Bethany Baptist Church in Brooklyn. And so there's still some of the folks that went to Midwood High School with us that are still serving there. You know, shout out to Deacon Stanley Beckwith, who I know is probably listening to us, and all of that, and to Reverend Pittman, and all of those who are Tyrone. You know, I mean, there's just so many that have been following you, Eri, and waiting for the gift of God to continue to come forward. And we were there then, and we will be there now. And if our brother Jay was alive, I tell you, he would be the first one on the line today.
Wow.
So I'm just grateful. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here and serve with you. And Precious and Keturah have, I mean, my new motto is God be big. I'm just saying it right now.
How about that? How about that?
God be big, I'm telling you. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you and your love, and you as well, Minister Munjin. I'm so grateful for you both and for those who are interceding. You know, you have some people that are listening, and then you have others who are eavesdropping. Uh-huh.
Right.
And so I'm, So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God is not only my filter to help filter out all of that, but that I'm very clear on my assignment. And, you know, it's interesting that you should mention my late father, and you're having the ability to go back to the church, not only where I grew up, but where I took our choir when we were all teenagers to sing and to minister there. And I think one of the craziest things is being a woman of faith. And my father, you know, he was very young when he passed away of heart failure. He was in his early 30s. And Dad used to, you know, he was a commodities broker by day. Nights and weekends, he was singing. He was not only singing in the church, he was singing everything from Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. And so I thought about how social theology is something I didn't even realize was in my DNA, life outside of the walls. He was singing about what it meant to be young, gifted, and black. When I look at my dad's old programs and what he was singing about and how, you know, churchdom will have you regulated to the four walls, and I love church. Anybody who knows me knows I love church. I love the people of God. I love my church home. My church home now happens to be multicultural. And so I love it all. You know, I'll rock anything from Barbara Streisand to Bob Marley. It doesn't matter. But at the same time, for us to see and hear that this is an age-old story, the need for activism, the need for people having a voice and caring when service ends. And I didn't even think about it until I got older, that this is in my DNA, you know. The fact that my dad left that legacy behind and he led by example, even though he died young, him and mom had already been married over 15 years. So I didn't even realize social theology was something that was so deeply embedded. That term, social theology, can you just very briefly, just for those who are listening who may not be familiar with that term and what that looks like, being the hands and feet in the earth realm, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. And so some people are, you know, refer to it as social theology, but it really is social justice theology, right? And so the idea that and I only clarify it because when we're talking about a social theology, it could be it does not have the element necessarily of doing the work of justice or activism, including it. So this is why we have to specify when we're talking about social justice theology, because then we're looking for and working on behalf, doing the work of God's hands and feet in the world, as you mentioned, to bring about God's justice in the world. So that when we, as Christians, for example, or when we pray the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and we say, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, what we're saying is, we want your justice to come down on earth as it is in heaven. We want your reign, your way of thinking, your righteousness to come down on earth as it is in heaven. And so if theology and theology simply is a God talk, how do we see God in the world? How do I see God in the world? How do I make sense of what's happening? That's ethics and social ethics and Christian ethics. And so when we're asking the questions of why do bad things happen to good people, or why is there still evil that will run rampant in the world? Why are there still 113 girls, Chibok girls, still not being reunited and still lost? You know, things like that. Why do things like Charlottesville still happen? Why is there still white supremacy? These are the questions that the people of faith are asking in the world, right? Because if God is here, then why are these things happening? And so we who have been called out to be the called out ones, right? We are the ones are trying to make sense of it. And really simply, it's we are the ones that are to help to see about the last, the least, and the left out. And so that is our work. That is our work. And so I want to so that's pretty much, you know, what social justice theology is. And I want to say that it is not just something that we should be talking about on a Sunday morning, but this is lived theology. This is, you know, don't you cannot try and give scripture to somebody who's hungry and expect them to, you know, to lay their lives out on the altar, fall out and jump and shout and speak in tongues when they're hungry. You need to be able to feed them. And so it's about not only for the Christian believer, it is not only about saving souls, but saving bodies. You know, as the father of black theology, Dr. James Cone would say, it's about both. And if we believe that the God that we serve is the God on the side of the oppressed, then we too must be on the side of the oppressed. So that's essentially what it is. And Minister Munjo, when you were talking earlier, you were mentioning, you know, you asked the question, where's the church? And people say that often, you know, when you see things like Charlottesville happen and other things that are happening in the world. And I want to say that I would rather ask the question, where's your church? You know, not yours, Minister Munjo, but where, we need to ask very specifically because, you know, I know my pastor was in Charlottesville, and I mean, we were holding down the church. So when he went down there, I mean, and I've been on front lines. I've been, you know, in riots. I mean, the church, there are over 2,000 ministers are going to be on Washington Mall tomorrow in the Ministers' March with communities and with their members going out to make moves. And so the church is present. Everybody's church is present. You know, and so, but the body of Christ, now what we need to continue to say is, what are we saying? What shall we say to these things? Because what we need to do is to change systems and structures that continue to uphold and perpetuate the supremacy that we see happening and the evil and the injustices that we see. So that, you know, and we do it with the love of God. We do it with the love of God, you know. So in my role, I serve an ecumenical community as well as an interfaith community. So that, and simply what that means is that ecumenical in many denominations within the Christian church and the belief, the United Methodist Women own and operate the Church Center for the United Nations, and so they have charged me in my role to be able to go out and serve the UN community, the non-governmental organizations, as well as the over 800,000 members of UMW, United Methodist Women. So my role is quite expansive, but in the process of also with all of the varying Christian denominations, I also am able to fellowship as well as hold services, memorial services, and other services around issues that are affecting our world, like lack of water, you know, like poverty, and, you know, like climate justice, all of these things that are affecting our earth and humanity. We have to we come together as people of faith to say, where are you and what are you doing in order to make this world a better place for us not only to live in, but for us to thrive in, right? That's it in a nutshell, if it could be in a nutshell.
No, it needs to be said, and I'm gonna let, because we are ready. This episode really flew by, and so I want to give Minister Munjo an opportunity to ask questions. But I wanted to say this: one of the things I find being a woman of faith and being a woman of color is I have had people, some directly, others indirectly, expect me to choose sides. So, say for example, well, if you're an African American woman, then you should be automatically, you know, only with African Americans, or you should only believe this, or you should only believe that. And what's in my blood is a love for all people. And I should not feel guilty about having a love for all people. You know, there are some people when they, you know, they want to decide, okay, my church is multicultural, which follow me very carefully, which means that different cultures gather to do one style. That's not multicultural. It's a multi-ethnic assembling, very, very different. What I find very problematic is racism in the church. I thank God for my pastor. He is a Caucasian man who happens to have a burden for nations. Now, there are people who go, oh, my sister, you can't possibly be down for the, quote, cause if you're a, quote, passer, if your passer is not a man of color. I take issue with that because it doesn't I don't get my African American card revoked because I happen to love people the way my God loves people. How do you deal with that when you have those who you two, like me, you have a love for all cultures, but there's no question, not even a little bit, where our pride comes as African-American women in this day and age. How do you deal with that in the church and just dealing with the reality of it, being on the front lines? You're on the front lines. How do you deal with that?
So it it is very, very true that when you, for example, as yourself, you attend a church that's multi-ethnic or multicultural, right? All the many cultures are gathered and assembled, which is an amazing and a wonderful, beautiful thing. And I think that oftentimes, I mean, we see it show up in various ways, called to quote unquote prove your blackness, right?
Right.
You know, in the struggle and doing this, I want to say that. So the motto of our church, my pastor, I love him to life. He's a brother and a friend, and his name is Reverend Dr. Anthony Bennett. And the motto of the church is a praying people with a powerful witness of a perfect God. And so, I'm using that motto because my church is very Afrocentric, right? And it is very aware, culturally aware, because of the need of who we are and show up in the world. But the people that come to the church don't all look like me. They're of different hues. We have some of our Caucasian sisters and brothers that are there, some Latina sisters and brothers that are there, because we're a praying people with a powerful witness of a perfect God, right? So,
yes, ma'am.
So I'm saying all that to say that one of the things that I do is I am I'm absolutely unapologetically black, and I don't I make no apologies for being that and who I am.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So if we show up in the world this way, but you're called to be one of those praying people with a powerful witness of a perfect God, that is beyond the color line. You follow what I'm saying? And the people who are hurting and the people who are marginalized are, now I will say that we have to speak up and speak truth, where most of the people that we see are people, black and brown people, or poor people. And all the poor people are not the most impoverished people, especially in the United States, are not always the black and brown people. They are poor people who are white, and there are poor people who are of different ethnicities, right? But we have to understand that the ones who have been brutalized horrifically are the ones that are black and brown people. So the way that I handle it, to answer your question, is to not sugarcoat the truth about unfortunately, our world has treated who we are and how we show up in the world. But if I am called to be God's hands and feet in the world, then God is spirit.
Yes.
God is spirit, and we are to be a part of those praying people, the powerful witness of that perfect God who loves all and transcends beyond color and creed and even culture. So, you know, that's how I deal with that. Yeah. Not
excellent,
easy. And I will also say, I've been asked too, about, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of choosing, in terms of your faith. You asked the question mm-hmm. before, what, you know, how does one define faith? And for me, faith is ever moving, right? Faith is all the things that our sister said, you know, it's not, it's that which we don't see, but yet we still believe. But I want to say that faith for me is praying with your feet. That is what mm-hmm. faith is. The prayers that we pray with our feet, the prayers that move us, a faith that moves us from coming up off of our knees to standing on our mm-hmm. feet to walking mm-hmm. and doing the work in the world, right? That's what faith is.
Yeah.
And my faith has expanded to see God as such a big God. I have become a better Christian because I have been able to sit around the table with the Buddhists and with the Muslims mm-hmm. and with those mm-hmm. who are Sikhs and those who are Hindu brothers and our Jewish mm-hmm. brothers and sisters, because we come around the table around the issues that affect humanity.
Yeah.
And so I stand mm-hmm. in my own faith to say I am a person of faith, and I have to come because we have to be the ones who are going to be the caretakers of humanity and of the world. So, and in those areas too, stand my ground in terms of who I am. On Christ solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. For me, that is the truth. And unapologetically so. But again, I appreciate who God has made us all in the world, especially when we come around the issues that affect humanity.
Yes, excellent and well said. For the sake of time, we're going to get ready to close. Minister Mungin, before you ask a question of Reverend Boissier, I just want to again extend to those of you who are listening, this has been a powerful episode. If you're new to listening to Inspiration With E, this happens to be the faith episode. I have what's called a 6-episode season for this show. So every single episode has different themes. And this happened to be the faith episode. So God just supernaturally orchestrated it where it was just straight talk, no music except for the theme song at the top. And I'm at peace with what God did because he's sovereign. And I do truly believe that whoever needs to hear what was said today will hear it whenever they listen to this, whether they play this over and over again as a podcast or go to www.grindhardradio.com and, you know, look for Inspiration With E and get these episodes on demand, however you're listening and however the person is going to be listening. I am praying supernatural blessings on you. Before we go, very briefly, I want, while Sean gathers his questions for you, can you just tell the people how they can get in touch with you, Reverend Boissier, please?
Oh, absolutely. So I am the Church Center for the UN. We are still getting our website together, but we're on Facebook and a CCUN-Church Center for the UN. So you can find us on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook as Dion P. Boissier, and on Twitter as Rev Dion B. on Twitter, and Ari is trying to get me to do more Instagram. Y'all got to help me on that, but it's the same.
The hand of the Lord is on Instagram. Don't fight it.
So that's how you can find me, and God is moving and doing some new things, and I even have to share that with Ari Office, where Bridge Being Global Ministries is going to be emerging, and so I'll be sharing some more of that. But that's how you can reach me and the Church Center. Yeah.
Excellent. And again, Minister Mungin, before we close out and you have another question, a question for Reverend Dion Boissier, please, how can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me at www.seanmungin.com, or they can just hit me up at admin@seanmungin.com.
Excellent. And your question for Reverend Boissier, please. We have a couple of minutes left.
My question is, how do you advance the cause of social justice theology without it being clumped into a category with religious extremism, in terms of having to work with world leaders and championing the cause of social justice in terms of the poverty, the equal rights, gender biases, and things like that?
So is your question is how do we do it
right? Because there you have some world leaders who don't want to deal with a lot of faith-based organizations or non-government organizations, and in some instances, because you have radical groups out there, you know, for whatever reason, they blindly clump all religious groups together, and I think that's a very bad move in terms of actually addressing the issues.
So, Minister, Reverend Boisier, I apologize. Just so you know, you have 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah. So in order to do what we do here, and so my community, so I'm clear, my community is a global community. One of the things that we can do is in the local church, we can make the local church aware of global issues, right? And so that when we're speaking, we're not speaking the voice of any extremism, right? So anything done to the extreme is error. That's one.
Right.
And so, so for me, so what we're doing is we tell the stories, we gather the stories, and gather the stories from the ground, right? And so those who are doing the work from the ground in the rural communities, in the communities that are on the margins, gather those communities, those stories, and we take those stories to those who are ambassadors. And those who are the civil society are the ones whose voices are then made broader, doing community activism and advocacy. And we bring those stories to the UN and we hold them accountable for what they say that they're going to do. Right. So that's essentially what the job is, to take it across the street to the UN so that they can then do what they need to do. What I'm saying is we have to make sure that when we speak, we are speaking with balance, that we're speaking in love, and that we're speaking truth. And so when you speak truth and we do it that way, then we avoid the extremisms that are brutally spewing evil and hatred in the world and be about the work of peacemaking and advocacy. Yeah, I hope that has helped. I hope that I answered the question.
You answered it. You did.
Okay.
We did.
And thank you for that. Before we wrap up, or Blog Talk Radio decides that we have already wrapped up, if you guys can just give me one 30-second word of encouragement for anyone that's listening. If you don't mind, I'm going to have you go first, Minister Manjin. Go ahead.
Just basically, life is difficult. Challenges come, challenges go, but as long as you hold on to your faith as your foundation and as the bedrock upon what you stand for, you can do anything. You can believe God to do anything. I think the new catchphrase from this show is God be big, and that's how we have to view him, as bigger than everything, any and everything, and everything is going to be okay.
Excellent so much, Reverend Boisier.
I would say that, you know, see the God inside you and trust that God lives in you. That big God is the one that is inspiring you to do good works. Pray with your feet and be one of the praying people with a powerful witness of that perfect God who has called us to do God's work in the world.
Excellent, excellent. I just wanted to pause to say thank you so much to all of my guests right here. Again, if you're just catching the tail end of this broadcast, my name is Erica Arthur. My nickname, well, the one that I can say on air, Glory is E. It's E, and this show is Inspiration with E, and it is simply designed to encourage people. Now you just happen to catch the faith episode, and yes, this is clearly my lane, but we'll be back next week with different styles of music and different cultures, helping to raise awareness about everything from being depressed, dealing with being bipolar, cerebral palsy. We're going to be talking about it all next week, so please be sure to tune in. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at Inspiration with E on Facebook, Inspiration with E on Instagram, and EA, that's E as in Echo, A as in Alpha, Inspiration on Twitter. My personal handle is Indigo Interlude, and my love poetry page, which has adult content
tinge to it, maybe a strong PG-13, is Authenticity Speaks. And that's Authenticity ending in two E's, AuthenticitySpeaks.com, and Authenticity Speaks on Facebook and Instagram. I love you to life, and I pray that God will give you a supernatural portion of peace and real, real, real good rest. Thanks so much for tuning in, and same time next week right here on Grindheart Radio. Special shout out to Jit Chronicle, CEO, founder of Grindheart Radio, and my resident engineer helping me get through it. And God bless you all. Peace.
God bless you. Thank you.